We're going to hear God's word now from Proverbs chapter 11.
The Lord hates cheating, but he delights in honesty.
Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom.
Good people are guided by their honesty. Treacherous people are destroyed by their dishonesty.
Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living is a safeguard against death.
The godly are directed by their honesty. The wicked fall beneath their load of sin.
The godliness of good people rescues them. The ambition of treacherous people traps them.
When the wicked die, their hopes all perish, for they rely on their own feeble strength.
God rescues the godly from danger, but he lets the wicked fall into trouble.
Evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly.
The whole city celebrates when the godly succeed. They shout for joy when the godless die.
Upright citizens bless a city and make it prosper, but the talk of the wicked tear it down.
It is foolish to belittle a neighbour. A person with good sense remains silent.
A gossip goes around, revealing secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence.
Without wise leadership, a nation falls. With many counsellors, there is safety.
Guaranteeing a loan for a stranger is dangerous. It is better to refuse than to suffer later.
Beautiful women obtain wealth, and violent men get rich.
Your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel.
Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last.
Godly people find life. Evil people find death.
The Lord hates people with twisted hearts, but he delights in those who have integrity.
You can be sure that evil people will be punished, but the children of the godly will go free.
A woman who is beautiful but lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout.
The godly can look forward to happiness, while the wicked can expect only wrath.
It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but to those who are stingy will lose everything.
The generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed.
People curse those who hold their grain for higher prices, but they bless the one who sells them for their time of need.
If you search for good, you will find favour, but if you search for evil, it will find you.
Trust in your money and you go, and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in spring.
Those who bring trouble on their families inherit only the wind. The fool will be a servant to the wise.
The godly are like trees that bear life-giving fruit, and those who save lives are wise.
If the righteous are rewarded here on earth, how much more true that the wicked and the sinner will get what they deserve.
This is the word of God. Amen.
This is a poem called The Workers in the Vineyard. Out of silence a voice speaks. It's saying, the economy of God is different. Listen to the ground base. Listen to the bottom line. I listen and I hear it, endlessly repeated. Don't be afraid. Beyond the judgments of the world, you are precious. You need no value addition. I am for you. I begin to hear differently. The faint refrain becomes a silver clarion horn. Never less than justice. Never less than justice. And there are grace notes, dancing, generous. Yes, you too. Yes, you too. This is the music of the kingdom. And I don't mind that many will go in before me when I'm afraid. I will listen for the ground bass, the bottom line, and my soul will sing. The book of Proverbs has a lot of themes, and as we've been seeing from chapter 10 to chapter 31, or to chapter 30, it's almost all a series of one-liners, one after the other, which seem to come fairly randomly. So what we'll be doing at the moment is we've been reading one complete chapter at a time, but in preaching, I'm picking out some of the themes that come up from the book. And I must say that one of the themes that comes out, it's one that I feel a bit nervous about preaching about, because well, I was trying to write my sermon, I want to put so many qualifications on what I've got to say that the danger is that there'll be nothing left at the end of it and we won't hear what the book of Proverbs actually does say. So the theme today is around wisdom and hard work. And one of the things that the book of Proverbs says to us again and again is that if you want to achieve anything, you've got to be prepared to work hard for it. Time and time again, there are these one-liners that make this point. Some of them are meant to make us laugh. Some of them are very serious. So here come some qualifications on this theme from Proverbs. Number one, the Word of God knows that it is important to rest. Okay, when Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel, one of the commandments was, you shall have one day a week, you shall keep it holy, you don't do any work on that day, you don't make anybody else do any work on that day, you don't even make your animals work on that day. You were slaves in Egypt, you know what it's like to be slaves, it's not going to be like that for you. You know, I sometimes hear people saying, we need to go back to the Ten Commandments as a nation. Well, here is one commandment that this nation perhaps has forgotten, that God knows that we need to rest. And Jesus knows that we need to rest too. Jesus would take time out from what he was doing and refresh and pray and go and enjoy the presence of his Father in heaven, often before making big decisions. I mean, another qualification to say about hard work is that hard work alone, well, can actually hurt us. It can destroy us. Some of us, the last thing in the world that we need to hear is a sermon that says, guys, you need to work hard. Because some of us work very hard. And you actually need the sermon about taking a bit more of a break. But sometimes we can get to the point that actually doing an extra hour's work is actually going to produce less than if we'd gone and taken a break for a while. And we live in a culture which for many people at work pressurizes them to do more and more and more and more. So people say things like, you know, we used to have five people working here. We've now just got three and we're expected to do the same amount of work. And hard work in itself is not going to be very much use to us. So with those qualifications, we want to have a look at some of the things that the book of Proverbs has to say about hard work. I did the thing about Johnny Erickson Tada earlier on in the service today. Bridge did an amazing job of trying to draw a self-portrait with the pen in his mouth. But for her, you know, having to learn that completely new skill, part of learning that new skill was about rediscovering the love of God. Part of it was about discovering the grace of God in the situation that she was in. Part of it was just hard work. To learn that skill takes a lot of effort. And if we look at anybody who is good, really good at something, you can be certain that they have spent so much time at practicing to make it happen. So, can we put the first picture up here? The book of Proverbs tells us to consider the ant. Now, I've looked up a bit about ants preparing for this morning's sermon. And some ants apparently live in colonies of about 12, but there are some ants that live in colonies of millions. And somehow they're all running about doing all their work, and they build these incredible places where they live. And the Bible says, Book of Proverbs says, look at them, consider the ways of the ant. To produce what they produce means that everybody has to work hard and everybody has to do the role that has been given to them. I'm not sure that the church like ants is the image that I want to talk about the most. I'd prefer to talk about the church as a family and other wonderful images like the bride of Christ and things like that. But the church is like a colony of ants. When everybody's working hard and doing the bit that there is their job, it works. So the next picture, please. Oh, yeah, about it says that people who are lazy are like people who put smoke into your eyes and who put vinegar on your teeth, who set your teeth on edge. You know, there's this sort of theme within the book of Proverbs that laziness should be considered the same thing as a lot of things that are really destructive. So there's something, you know, forgive me, smokers, I'm not a smoker, and certainly they weren't talking about tobacco there, but yeah, I've learned one great trick of life, which is, you know, if you're in the open air at a cafe, always go upwind of the smokers, because then the smoke will blow the other way and it doesn't go into my eyes and it doesn't sting me. So the book of Proverbs is saying, yeah, but lazy people sting the eyes as well. And, you know, the background to Proverbs is that they're trying to train up these young people. It would have been young men in those days, but these young people to try and work in the system of government, in the then civil service. And basically they're saying, you know, if you don't produce the work, you're going to hurt those who are around you. It's going to sting them. They're going to notice it. And the next one, please. Oh, yes. The Bible says, well, the book of Proverbs says something about people who are very good at talking the talk, but to use the modern words, they don't walk the walk. They don't actually do it. And it's not enough, the book of Proverbs says, to be spouting a lot of words. So it talks about people who are very good at telling other people what to do, but actually don't get on with it themselves. And the next one, please. Yes. Yes, the person who is lazy, it says in Proverbs, is the brother of the one who destroys. So we've got something here that, I don't know what country that's in, I'm not sure I even recognize the words, but, you know, there's a picture here of something that's been destroyed, it's been vandalized, and we go, isn't that disgusting, isn't that wrong? But the person who is lazy, according to the book of Proverbs, is the same, because stuff gets destroyed because of the things that they don't do. Right, the next one, please. Right, yeah, I couldn't really get a picture for this one, but the book of Proverbs says that some people are so lazy that when they're eating, they put their hand in the bowl, but they don't actually get the food into their mouths. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to do. But the idea is that when we're lazy, we kind of half do things, but we never really get the benefit of what we do. And then the next one. Oh, yeah, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says the lazy person doesn't go out because they say there is a lion outside. In other words, lazy people are incredibly good at making up excuses. They are incredibly good at finding reasons why they can't possibly do the thing that they should have done. Remember years ago, actually, where I used to live in Essex, there was for a while a rumour that there was a lion on the loose in one part of Essex. I mean, it seems to have been particular nonsense. And somebody in our church said, maybe it's just Essex people being lazy. Sorry, people from Essex. The next one, please. This verse is really about saying, get your priorities right. And it talks about people who want to build their houses before they go and work the fields. And the book of Proverbs says, no, that's the wrong way to go about things. Go out and do your work first, and then talk about building your house. Because what's the point of having a wonderful finished house if you're going to go hungry? So that there's something here about getting our work done, and then getting on with the things that benefit us personally. Next one, are there any more? Thorns. Book of Proverbs says, you know, I saw a man and he had a vineyard, but he left it and he didn't tend the vineyard. And when I went there expecting to see grapes, I saw nothing but thorns. And there were no grapes in the vineyards. So it's a verse about keeping our eye on the ball, about making sure that we're getting done things that we need to do. Is that the last one? No? Oh, yes. A door turns on its hinge, but the lazy person turns on their bed. Yeah? The door doesn't go anywhere. The Lord doesn't make any progress. It doesn't move. So some people are just like that for laziness. This one, it's interesting because this is something that Jesus picked up in the things that he said. And I hadn't realized that it actually came from the book of Proverbs. That a shepherd is meant to know all of his sheep. A shepherd that doesn't is going to be in trouble. And it's something about us and our work, the things that we do, and about saying, make sure you get to know properly the job that you are doing. Don't do it half-heartedly. Next one. That's the last one. Okay. I mean, that's some fairly random verses from the book of Proverbs about laziness. And wisdom, according to the book of Proverbs, and hard work go together. Now, again, qualification time. We believe in grace. We believe in forgiveness. We believe that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, you are welcome in this place this morning. We spoke about the Father's embrace as we come to worship, and the Father embraces every one of us, no matter who we are. There is a welcome for us with God. But the Bible also teaches us, and this was a lesson that the early church learnt quickly, that while faith is about relying on the power of God, it's also about us working very hard in the things that God calls us to do. In fact, I was reading through the work of Paul, the great early Christian missionary. His stories are in the Bible. Quite a few of his letters are in the Bible. And I was astonished as I studied this how often he talks about hard work. Here he is speaking, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, It's more blessed to give than to receive. When he writes to the Corinthians, he writes, we work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And in the same letter, he talks about the people who are spreading the good news of Jesus. He said, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. In a later letter to the same people, he talks about the things that he has gone through, and he talks about the persecutions and things like that. But it's easy to miss that in the middle of all the things that he's had to put up with, one of them is hard work. In another case, we have people who are claiming to be better at the job than Paul is and saying, listen to us, not Paul. And he lists the things that he has done compared to these people. And he starts off by saying, I have worked much harder. In the letter to the Ephesians, he says that people who have been stealing must stop stealing and they must start working, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Paul to the Thessalonians, we work night and day, laboring and toiling, so we would not be a burden to any of you. 1 Timothy 5:17, he talks about the leaders of the church, and he says they're worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And here's one that I think is the most interesting of all. It's Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Where the Spirit of God says to a church, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. And he goes on a bit to explain what he means by that and why he is pleased by the hard work. But he says after that, but the thing you've forgotten is you've really forgotten how to love. And you've walked away from the love that you knew. So I find this a bit of a strange theme to talk about, really. I think I want to say to those of us who have found that we've been working hard, that what you've done is really valuable. What you've done matters. Sometimes turning up and showing up and getting the work done is really important. So may the Lord really bless you for the hard work that you've done. And if any of us are thinking this morning, well, maybe, you know, I need to work harder. Well, don't just go off and try working harder. Think about how it should be done. Maybe get some advice about it. Don't fall into the trap of thinking harder, 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 and ending up breaking the commandment to rest that God has given to us. Our God, at the very beginning of the Bible, gives this amazing balance between work and rest. As the story is told, and don't need to go into any science today, but as the story is told, he takes 6 days to create the world. He creates something wonderful. And on the sixth day, he steps back and he looks at it and he says, this is good. And I believe that for us, for the work that we do, for the work that we do for God, the work that we do for our employers, because we're told to work in everything as if we're doing it for the Lord, that the time comes where we're able to step back and rest and to hear the Lord saying that we have done a good job. Let's pray together. Lord, we understand that life is often about working hard, that even sometimes just doing the stuff we need to do each day, whether that's at home or at work or wherever, is hard. Often it's harder than we expect it to be. And really seeking to live for you seems hard. We hear this great sense of what you want from us, but actually producing it can be more difficult than we thought it would be. Father, may we, like Paul, be people who do work hard, but who do it with the power that only you give. Lord, teach us to be wise. Teach us to be more like Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen.